This morning I want to continue to celebrate by sharing with the Word, and I'm going to ask that you turn with me this morning to 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, and I'll ask that you stand with me in honor of God's love and in honor of His Word. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13 is where we'll begin. Watch, stand fast in the faith. Be brave, be strong, and let all that you do be done with love. Father, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for your blessings upon us. Thank you for grace and mercy. Lord, thank you for walking with us each and every day. And I pray even now, Father, that you will strengthen us in this time, in this moment, for the days and for the times that are still before us. Lord, we ask it only to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Be seated, please. Paul was writing to the Corinthians, and he's closing out that first book to the Corinthians, and he's talking to them about his desire to travel and be with them, and that he hopes to make it, spend the winter with them, and that Apollos may be able to come by and see them when he has a more convenient time to do so. He had tried to urge Apollos to come on in, and Apollos refused, and so he let them know that he would, but it'd have to be at a more convenient time for Apollos. Timothy may show up. Love Timothy. And I hope to be there too, he was saying. But until I am there, these are some things that I want to remind you should do every day in life. Whether I'm there or not, whether Paul is there or not, whether we're with each other or not, God is always with us. And God has given us a hope that is eternal. He has given us things that we look forward to, that people that haven't found their faith and their relationship in Christ, they don't quite see, they don't quite get. And one of those things is beginning with this very first word that Paul says to the Corinthians. Watch. Watch. How many of you like watching for things? You like watching the calendar for your birthday to show up and it takes forever, right? When you're in school, if you're still in school and you're school age, you know what watching the calendar is all about. Seems like it's never going to get there. But there are some things that even people out of school like to watch. I know there are some things. How many of you love to get up at 3 and 4 in the morning to go see shooting stars when they tell you there's going to be shooting stars in the sky to see early in the morning? No? None of y'all are early morning people? I have family members that aren't early morning folk. I know there's a lot of y'all out there. But how about this? If you can't get up in time to see the stars shooting across the sky, you probably can't get up in time to see a beautiful sunrise. But how many of you have ever stopped and watched a beautiful sunset? I mean, God paints some wonderful portraits for us to see in the morning, in the evening. How about something else that just really gives you inspiration about who God is and what He has done in all of creation? Sitting in the woods, I like to go out and hunt. I like to sit in the woods. Whether I am able to harvest anything or not doesn't matter, because what I am collecting are memories, things that I see, animals and birds and beautiful things happening in the woods that you don't see unless you're there. You don't have to just watch a documentary. You can go out and see these things, right? So we like to watch for things. And when they're happening, we love to stay in that moment of wonder and awe at what we're looking at. But Paul is not talking about those kinds of things when he says watch. He's really not saying watch for Timothy and watch for Apollos. What he's saying to us is watch for Jesus. Watch for our Savior and His return. Because we don't know when that moment might be. And especially now in our day and age. We should be watching every day for Jesus Christ to return. We should have our lamps full with oil, not letting it burn itself out, so that when the master shows up, when the bridegroom shows up, we're not ready to make that journey because our lamps are empty. We need to watch and wonder, is today today, and watch to see if it is. And if not, we get up in the morning and we wonder, is today today? And we watch to see if it is. Watch. Don't forget to stay in awe and wonder of all the other things that you do get to see, like those sunrise and sunsets. But one day there's going to be a sunrise. It's going to top them all. So watch for that. Remember, He is coming. He has given us that promise. Watch and stand fast. Because we don't know the day or the hour. And we don't want to fall into the traps of the world. How many of you have ever fallen in the trap of the world? Whether it be in the mind or in the flesh or in some form of even legalism within a church. You know, sometimes we have things in our lives that we can't get over. Mentally, we just are hounded every day because of things we have done in the past or who we have been. We might have found forgiveness for those things in Christ, but doesn't Satan love to bring that luggage back up and set it at your feet and say, you forgot to pick this up this morning. It's time to carry it again, Joel. Because I want to remind you of something. I want to remind you of who you were. And while I'm doing that, I want to tempt you again to enjoy the things you used to enjoy. So we get trapped in our mind and in the flesh. The things we want in the world. It begins really here, doesn't it? In our mind, through our eyes. What we allow to reside in our hearts. And then it becomes alive in our flesh. To a point that we fail as that Christian. We're not that person that God wants us to be. We have to watch. Remember that Christ is coming. Remember this. Christ is always watching us. His Spirit is with us. He knows the trial that we're facing. But His Spirit strengthens us against the world, against even ourselves, if we will be mindful, if we will stand fast in the world. Paul writes in Galatians, he says, stand fast, therefore, even in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. And do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage, whether it's man-made or self-made. Don't give yourself to that bondage. Don't take on that yoke anymore. Don't let the enemy weigh you down. Those chains are broken. Remember, he's a chain breaker, right? How many of you found those chains broken? Just leave them where they broke off at. Don't go back to pick them up and put them away. Just leave them and walk away from them. And get so far away from them you can't even see them anymore. And don't let the enemy bring that back. Don't fall into those traps. You know, the world can lead us astray in many ways. And even as I mentioned earlier, legalism within the church. You know, if you haven't done this, you can't be saved. What? Where does it say that? If you wear red to church, you can't wear red to church. That's the color of the devil. You can't fish on Sunday. You know, we talk about these kinds of things. And there are legalistic things within the church that people grow up and they feel they must do every day in their life or God's not going to love them anymore. God didn't say that, did He? God never told us there was a list we had to complete every day, not even the Ten Commandments. You know what the Ten Commandments is? I've told you this 100 times. If I've told you once, I've told you 100 times. The Ten Commandments is nothing more than a thermometer. It tells you that you have a fever. You can't complete the Ten Commandments, not even in a single day, and get them all right. And if you break one, you've broken them all. It starts by loving God. And it finishes by denying self. And it doesn't tell us anywhere in the between what we should expect in return, either from God, our family, or our neighbor. The Ten Commandments isn't something that you have to do every day to be saved. It just shows you how sick you really are. If you want to really sit down and measure, did I love God like I should have today? How many of you can raise your hand even now? Have I loved God today? Yes, I have. Have I loved Him perfectly as I should Him in every moment, in every waking moment of this day already? Have I had any harmful thoughts about somebody that cut me off at the red light? Did I have any harmful... The bill collector? I saw that bill sitting on the counter again. You know, we might as well just stop at number one, right? What you have to do is stand fast in your faith, knowing that God has taken up this journey with you willfully. He has reached out to you, has given His love completely. He has given it all through the cross so that you can have life through forgiveness of sins and faith in Him. And He has said, I will walk with you. From this moment until the time we are home, I've gone to prepare a place for you so that where I am, you may also be. And if it were not so, I would have told you. And so we stand fast in this faith knowing that I am going to walk, but boy, I am also walking as a sheep among wolves. You remember that? And God knows that we're going to get nicked and cut and bit. We're going to fall into a crevice and we're going to have to be helped out and we're going to have failures. But God is walking with us to help us stand and take another step. But we have to watch. Watch for His return. Watch for the things that are against His will in our life. Watch for opportunities to show how much you love Him and to praise Him in the eye of the public or even in times of privacy when you have a moment. Stand fast knowing that no matter what is before you, you can stand right here and know that God is there with you. And if a new direction needs to be taken, He will tell you. Stand fast until you know. Don't run headlong into it. You might be diving into a 2-foot pool head first, and that's going to hurt. You know, I'll tell you the truth. People don't realize how harmful it really can be diving head first in. I have a friend I went to school with, dove into a swimming pool in shallow end and broke his neck. Paraplegic. And then finally he succumbed to that years later. But the suffering between then and the day that he went into eternity, what a shame. It could have been avoided. He didn't have to face that. And it's the same thing with us in life. When we just jump head first. How many of you could give testimony after testimony of the pain you have experienced because you jumped head first without waiting to see, without understanding fully what you were about to do? It was just something you wanted to do. It felt right. I'm not going to hurt anybody but myself. Oh, and it hurt. And it hurt others too because they watched you hurt. Don't let yourself be caught up in that. If you have found your hope and your faith in Jesus, then watch and stand fast in your faith. Don't let yourself be overcome, whether it's man-made or self-made. It doesn't need to grab you and hold you any longer, because you have liberty in Christ, the forgiveness of sins. But we don't continue to sin so that grace can abound. Paul tells us that. People think you can just live any old way. Well, I've been saved. I got Christ. Paul said, do we continue to sin so grace can abound? Certainly not. We need to learn to live a life that shows control and concern. And we need to walk in faith and honor God as God has honored us. We need to love Him as He has loved us. And this is where you're really going to have to be brave and be strong. Because it is so easy to just run with the crowd, isn't it? But be brave. Be strong. And look at all of these challenges. And don't be overcome and fall in and give in to fear. But look at them through the victory you already have in Christ. It's an amazing thing, isn't it? You can see this kind of faith in people going to football games. Our team's going to win. Ain't no way we can lose. Talk to them a few hours later. Find out what really happened, right? That's football fans. What about Christians? Why can't we go into everyday sin? We can't lose. We've got the champion on our side. The King is with me. Do you know that the gates of hell cannot prevail? That means we're marching against it. It's not marching against us. We're marching against it. And we have to be brave, and we have to be strong, and we have to be of good courage. The psalmist says, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart, all of you who hope in the Lord. All of you who hope in the Lord. Be of good courage. Why is it that we lose that courage? What is it that makes us weak? Is there something about who we were that we're afraid is going to come out? Everything's going to come out. Don't worry about it. God's already said it's over. It's done. I've gotten past that. Don't let the old enemy drag you back into it. Let's move forward. Be brave. Be strong. And when you look in the mirror, say those old words. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And you're talking about you and all that was in you, within you, and through you. Your flesh, your mind, your heart. Your house will serve the Lord. Be the example. Be the one that people point to and say, wow, they really do believe. You know, it's okay for people to look at you and say, they must be a Christian. It's not an insult. They might mean it that way, but they're making insult against Christ, who sees that against us and feels it against us, but loves us because of it. He loves them still because of it. And so when we're in the world and we're brave and we're strong and of good courage and strengthened because we know that He is with us, then we can do what Paul says we ought to do with that last point he makes. Do everything we do. Do it with love. Because when we get those moments in life where that insult about being a Christian is there, and we know that they're insulting Christ, remember, if they hate us, they hated Him first. And it's because of their hate for Him that they're insulting us. Don't let that burden you. Don't let that put fear in you. But look at them the same way that Christ is looking at them in that moment, with love and with concern. And then act in that same kind of love and concern. Because, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And how many of us in here did Christ speak that for? And has spoken that for time and time again. Yes, Father, I know Joel's hard-headed. He just didn't know what he was doing. Every one of us, we have those moments where we have to go back and find that healing and that forgiveness and that strengthening again. But why can't we do it just every day? When we wake up, we watch and we stand fast. And whatever comes, we're strong in that moment. We're brave. And then no matter what is thrown upon us, we react with love. Y'all look like a good group of people that like to love people. Not just when everything's going your way. When everything's not going your way. How many of us in here need to practice that one? Amen. That's okay. I only get a couple of you to say that. But I know there's not one of us in here that is perfect. But let me remind you. Hatred stirs up strife, doesn't it? We see that in Proverbs. But we also see this. Peter reminds us. He says, above all things, have fervent love one for another. For love will cover a multitude of sins. How about not just ours, but those who are an offense to us? Love will cover a multitude of sins. You know, and you probably understand what I'm about to say. When you wake up in the morning and you are just awake enough to remember the blessings that you have in Christ, don't you feel that moment of peace and security? That moment of love and bonding between you and God through Jesus. And it's almost like a spiritual cloak is being wrapped around that gives you that. You have it always with the Spirit that is in you. But isn't it wonderful in those moments? Just you wake up, you, oh, thank you, Lord. And you feel that cloak coming around. You know, in the Old Testament, there's a cloak of many colors, but if you can allow me this, I would say this cloak that God wraps on us in the morning, this spiritual cloak that I'm referring to that you can feel, it's a cloak of many layers. It's a cloak of love. It's a cloak of forgiveness. It's a cloak of help and concern and strength, and it's got layer upon layer, and it's layered so it can provide for us in every circumstance we face that day. Consciously aware of. We are already cloaked with the strength that we need to face whatever is coming. And if we can learn to do in love for others as Christ has done for us, that means we learn how to love others without coercion. Y'all know what coercion is, right? Well, they gave me something, so I got to give them something too. We learn to love without that kind of coercion in our mind. Instead, we learn to love with concern. Because I remember who I used to be. And God still loved me. And I see who they are. And I'm going to love them. So I take that one layer of that cloak that I'm wearing. And I wrap it around them so that they can have that sense of love themselves. And they get that love because I've learned to be concerned. Not with me, but for them. Boy, I can't think of a better way to honor God than to love as He has loved us. Above all things, have fervent love, one for another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. And you know, when you wrap that love around someone who has been an offense to you, do you know what you're saying to God? Father, forgive them. Because they don't know what they're doing. The same as me. You're saying, Father, love them the same as you love me. You're saying, Father, help me to love them the way that they need to be loved. The same as you love me, help me to love them. You're saying, Father, I want them to know you. You're saying, Father, can we set another place at the table for them? You're saying, Father, I will do what I can to make sure they know the table is prepared. Paul was saying to the Corinthians, there are things we need to do every day. We need to watch. We need to stand fast. Be brave and be strong. But above all, be ready to love. Not just Valentine's Day. Every day. As Christ has loved us. Do you know Jesus today as Lord and Savior? Have you experienced that peace and that love that comes from forgiveness of sins? You can if you don't. It can be renewed if you have forgotten. Just call out to Christ. He's listening. And if you don't know Him as Lord and Savior, you can come to the altar today. I'll pray with you. You won't be there by yourself. You'll be there with everyone else who has made that same journey. And would gladly make it again with anyone who needs that help and that strength. I want to invite you today to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. And to have that hope and that joy and that peace that comes with a love that never yields and it never ends. While there is time, will you come? Father, I thank you so much for this day. I thank you again for so great a love upon us. And Father, I pray that you have strengthened us and have shown us how we can love as you love. And I pray too, Father, for those that might not know you. Lord, strengthen them to find your peace today. Your forgiveness of sins today, and new life in you today. And I ask it to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Will you come?